This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Your turn to the Jackie Assistant broadcast across the land on Radio Hawke's Bay.
Today's worship theme, Jesus' Return, or His Second Coming, with Hillsong Worship, King of Kings. Come Jesus Come from C.C. Wynand and Lion in the Room, the Live Version of Bethel Music.
To fulfill the law and prophets. come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal. Today be the day. You'll come for the weak and the strong just the same, and all will believe in the power of His name. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace.
Controversy. Elder Roger presents his sermon extract, hoping to spread light on what is the rapture. Elder Roger Curtis.
The rapture! Woo! Well, you should be excited. Should be really exciting. And there's two main scriptures that we're going to go to as a foundation. So most of what I'm going to be talking about today is ahead of us. So we can agree or we can disagree, it's going to be okay. This sort of stuff here is, we can still be friends even if we disagree on some of our conclusions. But there's a couple of conclusions that we can't disagree on, and that's how we get saved. Hey? It's by the blood of Jesus. It's by the redeeming blood of the Lamb. It's about being born again, isn't it? That's, we can't even get into the kingdom of God without being born again. So that sort of stuff we don't argue over. That's what the Bible says, right? But this sort of stuff that I'm going to be talking about today, it's all in the future. And if I'm completely wrong, then hey, we're still all going to go to heaven. Amen? All right? So let's crack into it. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up." Now that word there is the Latin word rapio. That's where we get the word rapture from. So the word rapture is kind of in the Bible. Lots of people say it's not, but there it is. All right? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? So say after me, in Christ. Say, I am in Christ. So if you are in Christ, all that I'm talking about today applies to you. All right? If you're not in Christ, none of this applies. You're not in that group. Okay? And if you couldn't say that very loudly, you're either dead, you're one of the dead in Christ, or you're dead, or you're not in Christ. So I would really like you to be in Christ when I finish this, okay? Otherwise, all this good stuff is not going to apply to you. So that's the main scripture we base the rapture on. The second scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right? So that's the second scripture that we base the teaching of the rapture on. All right. Here we go. I believe that the rapture is going to be before the tribulation. It's called the pre-tribulation rapture. That's talking about the 7 years. Now, I know that pastors made it very clear that the Great Tribulation is only 3.5 years. But there's a time of sorrows for 3.5 years. This final period of time we're looking at is a 7-year period, but it is definitely split into two halves, 2 3.5-year periods. And you're going to have to wait to hear me all the way through here. We're kind of going to be putting pieces of the puzzle together today, okay? And so the 7-year period, I believe, comes at the end of the church age. So you'll see up there that there's the church age. Well, right on the right-hand side of that church age is where we are today. Okay, we're getting very close to the tribulation. All right? Now, there's another thought about the rapture, that it happens at the end of the tribulation, and that all the church is raised at the end of the tribulation, and I call it a divine U-turn. So it happens when you go up. At the end of the tribulation, you do a divine U-turn and come back with Jesus when he comes to wipe out all the armies and the day of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation. All right, do you follow me? That's the end. That's the end of the tribulation, kind of raising to be with the Lord. Okay, but I believe if you're in Christ, we're going to be raised, whether we're dead or whether we're alive, before the tribulation. All right, it's called the pre-tribulation rapture. So you can see the rapture up the top there, and it's on the right side. And by the way, I didn't design this, so there's at least one other person who agrees with me here. It's great. There is a specific length of time, the 3.5 years that pastor has referred to as the Great Tribulation, but there's another way it's described. It's described as the wrath of God. All right? That's 3.5 years. And the wrath of God is very significant. The wrath of God is a very definite length of time. It has a beginning and it has an end. There's been nothing like the wrath of God up until where we are today, and there'll be nothing like the wrath of God as the second part of the 7-year period. And the wrath of God is a very specific time. It says that in Revelation 15:1, it says that, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. So there's a beginning to the wrath of God and there's an end to the wrath of God. All right, it's a very specific length of time. Also says in Revelation 19, it says when Jesus comes back, he treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So the wrath of God ends at the end of the 3.5 years of the really bad part of the tribulation, the second half. But it's a very specific length of time. It's not 7 years, it's 3.5 years. Now, if we go to 1 Thessalonians, where it talks about the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians 4, you've got a couple of very interesting verses in Thessalonians 1, verse 10. It says that we are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So that's just before the scripture talking about the rapture. Then after the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got a scripture just before and just after the rapture scripture that says to us that we are not appointed to wrath. So I'm pretty simple-minded. I'm kind of thinking, well, I'm not going to be going through the wrath. Right? I'm not appointed to wrath. Okay? The rapture that we're talking about is not exactly the first time it's happened. There have been kind of partial resurrections in the past. And we're talking about a bodily resurrection. This is like grave-emptying resurrection, just like Jesus, right? When they went to the tomb, they couldn't find him. They couldn't find his body. All they found were the grave clothes, right? So that's the first resurrection. That was the first fruits of the resurrection. Was Jesus himself. But there's another resurrection that took place at pretty much the same time that Jesus was resurrected in Matthew 27. And it says, the earth shook, the rocks split apart, the tombs were opened, and the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. So when Jesus was resurrected, there was a dead arising, tomb-emptying resurrection that took place. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. So these were the Old Testament saints that were bodily raised from the dead when Jesus rose from the dead. So if we go to Luke 16, we see there's a picture of heaven and hell painted with Lazarus and the rich man. And there were two portions of hell. There was an upper and a lower portion. One was Abraham's bosom and the other place was the fire. Right? Now I believe that resurrection that took place there in Matthew 27 was from the upper reaches of hell. Jesus emptied out hell with all the righteous when he went down and preached to them. They were resurrected out of hell at that point. So hell changed when Jesus came, because when he shed his blood, it opened the door to heaven. Before that time, there was only the blood of animals that could atone for sin, cover sin. It didn't wash sin away. So that's why when the people in the Old Testament died, they went to a place called Hades. But there was two parts of Hades. There was the hot part, which we don't want to go to, and there's the place of paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And Jesus cleaned out Abraham's bosom when he went down. Okay? And when he was resurrected, they were bodily resurrected. So that's a kind of rapture, right? But the rapture that I'm talking about today, it's not just the dead in Christ that are rising and emptying the grave. It's going to be we who are alive and remain. We're going to go, but not before the dead. It'll be a split second later. Okay. Another time this word rapture is used is in Acts 8:39. It says, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Remember the evangelist Philip? Went and preached to the eunuch, baptized him, and then, boom, he was gone. Right? Same word. Philip was translated from one place to another in an instant. Okay? Same word. Revelation 12, it says that her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. Same word. Right? This is talking about Jesus. He was snatched up or caught away. So when Jesus rose up to heaven, when the disciples were looking out for him, it may not have been like an instantaneous rapture that we're talking about in 1 Thessalonians, but nevertheless it was a bodily raising from the earth and heading up through the clouds to heaven. Amen? Same word. Caught up to God. And Paul talks about when he was caught up to the third heaven and he was showing things when he was up in heaven. Same word. Caught up. Raptured. Okay? Not wearing you out yet? All right, you're good? All right, you're understanding all this? I see a few furrowed brows out there. I hope I'm not too left field for you guys at the moment. All right, we're going to have a look at some Old Testament shadows of the rapture, but we're going to start in the New Testament. I hope that's confused you. Okay, Luke 17. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, they were marrying, being given to marriage, da-da-da-da-da. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were burnt. All right? So these days are going to be just the same as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. So let's have a look at what happened with Noah. Do you know they entered the ark 7 days before it started raining? Interesting, eh? 7 days from now I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I have wiped from the earth all the living things that I've created. A male and female of each kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord closed the door behind them. See? So what happened in the days of Noah, there was a global judgment that took place. This is going to be similar to what happens in the tribulation that's coming up, but instead of judging the globe with water, God's going to judge the globe with fire. But there's a group of people, very small group, in Noah's day, Noah and his family, that were in this place of protection, the ark. And the ark was lifted up above the flood waters. The door was closed, no one else could get in, that the ark was lifted up with a small group of people. Everybody else perished. Right? Days of Lot. In Genesis 19, the two angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house and bolted the door. They then blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house, and they gave up trying to get inside. Verse 21. All right, the angel said, I will grant your request. I will not destroy the little village, but hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you get there. The judgment of fire that was poured out on Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible's very clear about that God could not. It's not that he would not or might not. He could not judge Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was out of there. The righteous were removed because of the intercession of Abraham. Just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be. Okay? So these stories are relevant to us today. All right? Now, there were different people involved with Lot that we can't really get into today, but there was different reactions that took place to the angels that came in. Some of them laughed. His son-in-laws laughed. They thought he was joking. All right? The daughters were pretty tainted, but they got out. His wife, well, her eyes were still on Sodom, so she got turned to salt. See, all sorts of different reactions to the word of God coming in the last days, but only a very small number will be saved. Amen? And then we read in Matthew 25, we have the story about the virgins. 10 of them, 5 were ready. Well, if that is a picture of the universal church, it sounds like only half are going to get through that door, and that door is going to be closed. Pieces of the puzzle, right? You're seeing this? Now, I want to just point out something here, that in all these stories that we've just read about, there's a door. There's a door. There's a door with the virgins. And guess what? Once that door was closed, no one else was getting through. There was a door with Noah. Once the door, and God closed that door, there was no one standing on the outside closing that door to the ark. It was God who shut that door. And guess what? No one else got in. And I'm kind of thinking that there might have been a few people knocking on that door when the rain started falling, don't you? I'm just thinking. I mean, there's a big boat over there. It's getting really wet here. But the door was closed. Too late. What about Lot? Well, when those idiots were trying to get into the house, into Lot and his family, guess what? The door was closed. The door was closed and they were blinded and confused and they gave up. But there was a door with Lot as well and it was closed. And then the angels took them out. Quite a few doors, eh? All right? So the rapture is going to be a little bit like that, because when the rapture takes place, well, I don't know, you'll have to be like in the Air Force or something to get through to the clouds, because, I mean, that door's going to be closed too. You're not just going to be able to levitate up there. Once the rapture's happened, that door's going to be closed too. The rapture!
Let's make this comparison. Thanks. Radio Hawke's Bay for this broadcast.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.